the view from Wayne, America.
Welcome to Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. This is The View from Wayne, America. From politics to education, from agriculture to business, you'll hear it all right here. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. Now turn up your radio and enjoy today's View.
The View from Wayne, America. Enjoy the view.
And once again, as promised, Wes Blakey and Kale Geese joining us this morning. Wayne City Council did meet last night, so we'll find out what's going on in the city. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dan.
How's everybody doing?
Doing real good.
Good. Wes, how are you?
I'm great. I'm great.
Okay. Family's okay. You know.
Family's good.
Okay.
Family's good.
Okay. I forgot. How close are you to another graduation?
Not until next year.
Not until next year.
If all goes well, next year.
The pressure's on now.
Vote of confidence.
No, I'm sure he's fine. He's a smart guy. I know that. All right.
He tells us that daily.
Oh, he's getting an attitude now.
Not getting, Dan. Not getting. He's right. Always had one.
All right. Well,
that sounds genetic.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Well, let's get down to business. I'm going to grab my sheet. I know City Council met last night. I heard Dr. Ramos was there. That was, I think, right at the start.
Yeah, no surprise. There is a lot going up on the college. And, Wes, you want to give some of the highlights?
Yeah. So, Dr. Ramos did a great job of talked for about 20 minutes or so. Gave us a presentation. She has these nice little books out, too, that mission and vision for Wayne State. A lot of things she talked about was housing related on dormitories and how they want to get to that suite style living that Wayne State on it. I mean, she admits that Wayne State's behind peer institutions on some of that stuff. So they need to get some suite style living. Talked about that the bubble project that we've heard a little bit about. That's going to be happening here in, I don't know, within a year, I believe that starts. Turf and fields up at the soccer fields. One nice thing that with rugby fields that we have currently, mm-hmm. that can then be moved to the college, and we can open that up for, you know, soccer fields, baseball fields, whatever. I think some other things, safety issues along Highway 15 North Main, with some can't do stoplights, but can do some flashing lights, you know, crossings and things like that as they get students get across the street. So you might be looking at seeing some of those things in the future. So the plan is it's a great plan. Shows three levels of priorities: high priority, medium, and low. And so she walked through that with us and did a really good job with that.
Yeah, so. I can see how that would be a good thing, having some sort of
Yep. Talk about expansion of the student center and how Fry Conference Suite, you know, was really good when it was built. But as student enrollment goes up and they have more activities on campus like that, they just need more space for those types of things. So, yeah, there's very aggressive plans for Wayne State. That's great to see.
It's like they're always building on the Wayne State campus.
Yeah, and some interesting things that will have immediate impact on the community that jumped out to me were Wayne State looking again at 6.5% increase in enrollment for next year.
Yeah.
And then that's their goal, not their stretch goal range. So their stretch goal range would be about another percent or 1.5% higher than that. So she's sticking by her word that we're going to shoot for over 5% growth for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. And as we're talking about, you know, Wes said we're behind on the suite style living. Well, Barry is one of the halls that houses the most people and yet is yet to be touched. And that is kind of the center point for their next renovation. So they don't know yet if they're going to gut the whole thing and redo it suite style. If they do that, they're going to lose about half the number of beds. Yeah. I think she said 300 currently, down to 125. Or if they're going to build another dormitory, you know, just to the north of it. If you can imagine, there's that kind of open courtyard to the north. So, a lot of influence on housing in the community.
Yes, that all factors into our housing issue. Yes.
Yeah, the interesting thing she said was, so Barry goes offline, they would need another dormitory, like a Barry 2, we'll call it, right to the north if they do that, or if they renovate. And then if they do another, she talked about a public part. private partnership with someone else to put in additional suite style living, you'd have two dormitories to take the place of one, just because the suite style takes up more space. So you're at a net zero for additional rooms on campus. But it's needed rooms. It's okay. What the students want.
Well, they do have some space anyway to grow up there. Always need for parking up there too.
And she did discuss that a little bit. Yes, it's always one of the hot topics up there for sure. And in the city, parking's always a hot topic.
All right, I'll move on. There are liquor license things were next, I think.
Yeah, the first one, Josh Sievers, has moved back to Wayne. He used to run the Cobblestone down there, so he'll be a familiar face if you see him around town. And then Johnny Bird Brewing, Greg Tachek, was up. This is something new. So he's always talked about this. You know, he's done his brewing. He's done his tap room or tasting room. I'm not sure what they call it. But now he's going for hard liquor distilling. So he will be making his own vodka, gin, you know, et cetera, liquors up there.
He's quite an industrious guy.
Yeah.
He is.
An idea kind of guy, yeah.
It's we're lucky to have him.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, and so was anything finalized and all that deal? Or you got to think it past?
Yeah, so he's already been cleared. I think with the other governing agencies. I think we were kind of the most locals, the last domino to fall in that. So he had USDA approval, he said, and state approval. So we were kind of the last one. And he's had this equipment for a while, and I think he's already got some stuff ready to rock. He said he's got 3,000 jugs, he said, that he's going to start filling up.
So. Labels, I think labels are slow to come in, but okay. I think that was what he's waiting on.
All right.
But he said it's gonna have the good stuff. I think that was his words to Wes when he said, are you going to have vodka and gin? He's like, oh, yeah, we're going to have the best vodka and gin. So.
Okay. It's not my thing, but okay.
Hey, whatever floats your boat.
Well, I guess. Community Development Block Grant was next.
You want me to take this one, Kim? So the next three agenda items is a public hearing and then resolutions that tied into it. So back, I don't know, 9 months ago, 6 months ago, time flies. The city applied for some owner-occupied rehab funds that it sounds really bad that we didn't want. We applied pretty much on behalf of the CHOTO, Mitzi Kuffner and Wayne Community Housing Development Corporation. It was a weird thing that they applied for it, actually, and were told they didn't have the authority to apply for it. About the same time, we applied for a housing study grant, and we were told we didn't have authority to apply for that. So they
traded?
We traded. We applied for this grant, and Mitzi and the CHOTO applied for the housing study grant. So the end goal was met. It was just we had to do a roundabout way. But it's nice to have those organizations in town that you can do those things with. You think of other communities that wouldn't have been able to do this because they didn't have a CHOTO in their community. Mm-hmm. So, it worked out well for us. So what this was a... We'd already the grant had already been awarded. We just needed to distribute funds now, and the other part of this was who's going to make those determinations of who gets the funds and who doesn't. City Council does not want to be involved in that. The NED Inc., a group of Northeast Nebraska Economic Development District in Norfolk, has two companies, if you will, kind of like the city has a city and a CRA. They can do different things statutorily, and so NED Inc. will be the governing body of this. Of the grant funds for the CHOTO, that they will administer those funds. So they will get to say yes or no to those funds working through the local CHOTO. So those were kind of those three items that we dealt with last night.
Yeah. So just to be an overview real quick, this is no match. So no city funds are going into this. This is just something that Mitzi found out there, and then we worked through a way in order to get that grant secured. So 10 houses will be rehabilitated, and it sounds like Mitzi's already kind of been doing the legwork behind the scenes, and she's already got 10 units that have applied that would be, in her words, good applicants. So
okay,
not approved though. So if you still have,
you can
interest,
still apply.
Absolutely, call Mitzi down at the CHOTO.
What's that total grant for? How much?
$315 was the grant amount.
Okay. Yep.
And like I said, it's the best kind of grants are the no match grants.
Is that a federal grant?
It's I don't know if it's home home funds through the state. I don't know where they actually get their money from, but I don't know if it's a federal requirements or not. But the state administers it.
Okay. So, Mitzi, who you should contact if you...
Yep, 5266. I think I wrote that down. 375-5266 if you have questions about that.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So, what's next? Since that was several different things.
Those were the next three. There were two resolutions.
And the grand finale, as everybody always anticipates, is the lagoon.
Let's talk lagoon. Okay.
Yeah. So, we're at that point in the lagoon process where... we need to begin finalizing things. You know, we've spent a lot of time arguing about it and getting a concept in our heads, and now we're talking about using actual elevations rather than concepts. So we're taking it from the idea stage into practicality stage next. So we discussed about getting the engineering, and the engineering kind of comes in three steps. First, it's, you know, you get your data, and then you take your concept and match it up with that. Does it still work? What do we need to tweak? Then it's, we get actual information as to, here's where the drainage areas will be, here's where we need to move dirt, and then the last step would be, you have roads that need to go in, let's get those engineered to be actually designed, you know, what you hand to the contractor that he puts in the machine to take off. So we are at stage, I said there's three stages, one, concept, two, paying. This is step one. I think you're going to see step two right away. The feeling from the council is we're not going to pay for this information and not use it. And so let's go ahead and start negotiating with the engineer and see if we can't get a better price for saying, hey, let's lock in all three stages right now. Prices haven't been trending downward. So let's negotiate a price or a payment structure and then work along that to make this a reality. We need to move dirt down there. We know that we're going to move it. We're not going to pay to move it twice. So this is part of that preparation, is to make sure that you go out there and you get a plan to execute. And that will help, you know, reduce costs in the long run. And one of the nice things that the committee has actually been working on is going after those third-party sources of funding. You know, we just got done talking about grants. Going out there looking for grants, looking for donors who want to see that concept. If we don't have the concept in the map to guide them, then they won't be in. We don't qualify, or they won't be interested. Is the feedback that they've already gotten. So this allows us to kind of have that plan of attack and begin executing. I know everybody's excited about the lagoon. Everybody's talking about it, but we need to keep our expectations down. I'm here to manage your expectations. But we are working on this thing. It's been 12 years of my experience. This sucker's becoming a reality, but we need to keep our expectations down.
The amusement park might not happen, Dan.
He cut you off there. You
Six
knew exactly
flags.
Where you
were going. I know what you're thinking.
I said NFL stadium. So what are we going to be designing?
Well,
at this point?
At this point, it's looking like a lake. We got some camper slips, and then we're trying to plan for future recreation growth within that area as well. So laying it out intelligently, not handicapping ourselves for the future. What I'd like to see is some, I'm looking at it from a maintenance and kind of an escape the city aspect, where I'd like to see some native grasses that are tall that we could mow different trails into and then weave and connect those back, you know, weave it around the lake, weave it around back into the existing trail system. Now these won't be finished trails. They'll just be mowed. So you won't be able to use them during inclement weather or anything like that, but just kind of a nice little area. If you've ever been to those wildlife areas where they let the native prairie grasses or whatever grow up. So, just kind of, you know, you can get in there and escape the city for a little bit and return to nature.
Okay. Be interesting to see some drawings eventually. Yeah.
And you may have seen a few drawings. We've had two different consultants look at this. One very briefly, and then the second one 3 years ago or so gave us a little more detail. But again, everything's been drawn. a two-dimensional. They have not taken elevations or anything like that. It's just been more of a concept idea. And so this will definitely be, still be the pretty drawings, but you're going to have real drawings that make sense with the lay of the land and what dirt needs to be moved and all that. So
okay. So how soon do we expect to be hiring an designer?
Well, we've got the, this will give us that, you know, a factual concept, you know, fact-based concept, not just drawing pretty pictures on a piece of paper. This is actually looking at elevations and stuff and allowing us to see what's feasible. So we're looking at getting those results in by August is what the contract stipulates.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's exciting.
Yeah, it's really cool. I know. Everybody's excited about the lagoon. They won't stop talking about it. And I'm here to temper your expectations. We're government. We don't move that fast. It's That's okay fine. To be excited, but let's just keep it manageable excitement levels for right now.
All right. Well, that's all that's on the agenda. I know we have an election coming up, and sales tax, of course, is the big thing.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, some of this will depend on sales tax, whether it passes or not. The speed of how these things happen. If sales tax doesn't pass, it'll be obviously we'll have to fight for a few more dollars. Mm-hmm. You utilize more grant funding and some stuff like that. And if sales tax does pass, then that's a nice leverage point when you go out to those funders, to whether it be government grants or if it's third party or private foundations. And we've already had some talks, and Nick Muir has done a great job with making connections with Peter Kiewit Foundation, because they did a nice grant over in Norfolk for some riverside development. And so, yeah, you'll see more of that stuff as well. So it won't just be city funds utilized. We'll reach out to other funding sources as well. But yeah, so there's a ballot initiative, actually four propositions.
Right. For They're sales all tied tax. Together. But
yep. If you need more information on that, please reach out to us, the staff.
But remember, you have to vote separately on each one.
Yes, you do. Yeah, and if we have time really quickly, what they do, ahead. Dan. The first proposition is going to be for a 1% sales tax, and this is a continuation. Right now we're 1.5%, continuation of 1%. Part of those funds go to economic development through the LB 840 committee, or LB 840 funds, actually 15% of the 1%. And then Proposition 2 would approve the plan for economic development to spend that money and to be able to utilize those funds. Proposition 3 is a 0.5 cent. We're going to say it's a continuation of what we're already doing with the aquatic center. Once those bonds are paid off, then it would roll into parks and recreation. Loosely parks and recreation, so it could be used for lagoon development. We're looking at a parks and rec building. It could be used to help pay for that.
Upgrading playground equipment. That's still a high priority for the city.
Yep. And those things, again, you look at Sunnyview, you're into it for $100,000. After you get it, you install it, you put wood chips and border around it, you're about $100,000 for that play structure. But talk about a play structure that has been used. You see kids on it all the time. Great idea.
They're expensive, but they get a lot of life. You know they're safe.
Yep, right.
Which is a huge bonus, you know, when you're dealing with the older equipment.
You won't let us weld things together anymore, Kale.
Yeah, I remember back when I was a kid.
I lived through it, the hamster wheel. Yeah.
We're all beat up about the finger pincher barrel rolling machine at Bressler being gone.
Bill Cosby had a great routine about that way back when.
So those propositions, and then the fourth proposition is the additional 0.5 cent sales tax that would go to activity center upgrades, including second story, an elevated walking track, a new gym space, new storage space, renovated weight room, an expanded weight room, refresh of the facility, and that's what we have interlocal with the school. So then the school would be able to utilize the additional gym space for JV games, junior high games, practices, trying to get kids home a little sooner in the evenings when they're doing preseason practices. They can get home and do homework and be to bed at a decent time instead of doing that at all hours of the night. So those are some of the things that are on the.
So that's the factual pitch. Wes, being a city employee, cannot actually go out there and advocate on behalf. But I can, being elected official. And what I always say on this show is, what's the most fair tax? The one that somebody else pays for and you get to benefit from. Luckily, we live in a city where we draw other people in to spend money here. Namely, look no further than what we were just talking about with the college. If you live in the dormitory, you don't pay any property taxes. What do you pay? Sales tax. All those summer events and winter basketball tournaments, camps, everything that go on, those people come into our city and they spend taxes here. So, as I said before, what's the best tax? The one that you benefit from and someone else pays for. And that, for our community, is sales tax.
And all of our recreational facilities bring in people from out of town, too, and they spend money when they come to, for softball tournaments and so on and so forth.
And when we want to, we got to continue to keep up those fields. I mean, they're not cheap to maintain, but they also provide an amenity to town that draws new people. You know, things like the trail, the lagoon, of course, and then mostly the activity center. I mean, that was new when I was younger, and the needs of the community have drastically changed since then. And we need to adjust and continue to provide what the community needs. These aren't wish list things. These aren't bucket list items. These are transitioning different spaces to make use of those so you don't have a bunch of dead space and that the amenities that you have are used to their maximum potential.
Okay.
Well, and talking about parks and recreation is not a cheap endeavor. You look at Hankoven Field. In the last 3 years, we've spent about $400,000 down there putting in new lights, a new infield that was actually a very, very well done, economically done. Matt Eichheid was a spearhead on that one. And then we just put new sprinklers in the entire facility. Now we have the terraces watered. Whether you're for that or against, we thought that was a great nice, it's going to be green grass and not weeds all over down there. So, I mean, it's Parks and Rec is not a cheap endeavor. So, yeah, hopefully sales tax.
But are you really an American city if you don't have a nice baseball field? I mean.
Hey, come on. Again, Dan, we're baseball guys, right?
Yeah, that's right. No, you don't need to convince me.
But those lights will last for 40 years. So you amortize that out and we're doing okay with that.
Okay. And as far as the city is concerned, what Ward 1 is as far as the primary election, they're narrowing it down to two.
We've got one hot race for the primary. For those of you who live in Ward 1, you've got Chad Seabitty, Karen Granberg, and Clayton Bratcher. Right. And they all, I went and listened to them while they were at the senior center. And I believe you can find that still online.
We have it on our website. Okay. We have a podcast on our website. So, under community, go to community at the top of the page, and then it's under podcasts. That's where you'll find it.
Yep. So if you're still undecided, make sure you check that out because that kind of gives you a flavor for what those different candidates are bringing.
Can they snap you, Dan, on your Snapchat or your Instagram? No.
I don't do that stuff. No.
It's all on Dan's TikTok videos that he has.
Yeah, you should see that. All right. Anything else you want to mention before we let you go?
I'm good. Good for another week.
All right. Well, we'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, guys.
It's only May 4th, but adios, senor. It's close enough to Cinco de Mayo, right?
Thanks, Mayor. Wes Blakey, Kale Geese, again, our guests today on The View from Wayne America.
The View from Wayne America.
You've been listening to The View from Wayne America. Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. Opinions expressed by our guest may not reflect those of this station. From politics to education, agriculture to business, we cover it all. Program content is copyrighted by Wayne Radio Works, LLC.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the view.